Welcome to the podcast at Checkbook IRA. Today we'll be interviewing a couple of gentlemen from CoinMe.com.
All right, so this is Jordan Shepherd, CEO of Checkbook IRA, and I have with me here today a couple of guys from a company called CoinMe. If you add .com to the end of that, that's their website. So I've got Brian Belden and Brent Lyman. Both are senior private client advisors with CoinMe. And we're going to have just kind of a free-ranging conversation here about kind of crypto in general, about buying and selling crypto, about what's involved in opening accounts and keys and security. CoinMe does a lot of really interesting stuff, and I like how their approach to, well, this idea in general, and also how it fits in with self-directed accounts. So, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, one thing I was going to say, just to kind of frame the conversation here, I was talking with one of your guys, Mike, and I was telling him that in the, I don't know, 15, 16 years that we've been in the business, I don't think that I have seen anything bring more attention to the self-directed space than crypto. You know, we had, of course, the credit crisis in 2006, 2007, that drove a lot of people out of the market into, you know, more non-traditional stuff. But crypto, for whatever reason, just really caught fire. And it's, you know, a lot of people are just kind of blown away when they realize that they can hold some of this stuff in an actual retirement account. And that's how we ran into you guys. So just to kind of start the conversation here, why don't you guys talk a little bit about, well, yourselves, kind of introduce yourself and what you do, maybe some of your history, and then also talk about what CoinMe does in kind of a general way, and then we can get into some of the specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Brent. I'll start out. My name is Brent Lyman. I'm one of the senior advisors here at CoinMe. You know, I've been in and around business consulting for the last 25 years, and joined a board CoinMe well over a year ago so that we could start private client services. And, you know, really our goal is human touch in a digital world. You know, our goal is to have that human-human interaction and really provide a basis education around digital assets, not only how to safeguard them, but safeguard transactions, and really just, you know, a lot, 80% of what really Brian and I do on a daily basis is just pure education around digital assets. And, you know, this is a brand new asset class that's risen in the last 10 years. And, you know, what started out as a fun hobby for technologists has really grown into a mainstream phenomenon because we're now able to exchange value without a central authority involved. And it's pretty powerful. As far as CoinMe goes, you know, we're the world's largest Bitcoin kiosk operator. This year, we partnered with a company called CoinStar, and CoinStar is the change machine that you throw your change in there, and you can basically convert it to hard dollars. So if you had that giant change jar, you dropped it in, and you know you could pull out $100 or $200 or whatever the value was of your change. They decided that they wanted to add the ability to buy and sell crypto on their machines. So we announced that partnership in January and expanded to just about just under 3,000 kiosks throughout the United States that you can now buy crypto on. And then the other method is through Brian and I. You know, we have a large clientele base that not only wants to know more about Bitcoin and digital assets, but also wants to buy it in a very safe manner and may not want to handle all the technical functionalities that a fancy platform has. You know, we handle that. We handle all those nuances. You know, we educate you on private keys. We educate you on storage and what's the proper way to do that. And really just, you know, give you confidence in the purchase that you're making so that you have the facts to make that investment decision.
Right.
Brian, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for having us on the call. Again, I appreciate that. A quick background about myself. Been in the financial industry for about the last 4 years now. Started off as a financial advisor for higher net worth individuals. Really got into the crypto industry in about 2014. I took to it and thought that it was something that I really had a passion for and wanted to take that financial advising approach that personal touch approach to our clients in the crypto world. And that's really what CoinMe's value proposition is that we're able to educate our clients and have somebody that they could talk to on a daily basis if they need education or to just buy or sell Bitcoin in general. So with that said, we started private client services with Brent about a year ago, just over a year ago. And we're really trying to bring that personal touch to our platform, which is kind of rare in the industry. And we really enjoy what we're doing here and think that it's a very valuable platform, especially in regards to the self-directed IRA and checkbook IRA. Just because that's something that there's a lot of regulations and rules around, and it's nice for our clients and Checkbook IRA's clients to really have somebody to help them go through that process in their retirement account.
Right. Well, and one of the things that kind of instigated you guys being on the podcast was that you guys reached out to us just kind of out of the blue and said, hey, here's what we're doing. And we'd like to get a little better understanding of how this fits into, you know, retirement money, which from my side of the fence, owning Checkbook IRA and dealing with all the clients that we have that end up doing something in crypto, one of my complaints has been, and this is a complaint that you guys have too, but just, I think from a different kind of point of view, and that is that there are so many of these exchanges and different companies that really don't understand either what's required if there's a retirement account involved, or, and especially, and this will be the next thing that we kind of talk about, is actually opening up an account and the fact that you have to open up an institutional account in the name of the retirement account to actually be able to buy and sell crypto. And one of the problems has been these exchanges are, like I said, they just, you know, they have enough to worry about that trying to understand kind of the intricacies of opening accounts and some of the different rules as they relate to a retirement account. You know, they just don't have time to do it. Plus they're swamped anyway. So good luck trying to get a hold of an actual person to get, you know, questions answered. So what you guys have done, and I spent a little time with some of your compliance guys going through your application. And that was going through the app from the point of view of investing with retirement money so that you guys would have a very clear kind of, you know, set of rules in terms of what you want to see on the app, what documents to expect and so forth, so that, you know, you're not asking for stuff that isn't needed and all that. And so we got that all lined out. You guys have I think a much simpler way of applying to open an account. And because you guys actually understand how these structures work, you know, there's not going to be any wasted space or time. And again, asking for things that aren't required or asking for extra documents when they're not really needed. So with that in mind, can you guys talk a little bit about how you onboard people, how they come in and open accounts, what the process is and kind of what's involved in that?
Yeah, sure. So working with CoinMe and especially in the private client side is what I call super simple. You know, you had mentioned those other platforms and exchanges across the space that, you know, they can be a challenge to work with, not only from, you know, just having a human conversation standpoint, but just understanding their processes and they don't quite line up. You know, the great thing about dealing with Brian and I is that we understand and we can set those clear expectations from the get-go. You know, CoinMe has always taken the position that we work with regulators, not against them. You know, one of our caveats is that we had America's first licensed Bitcoin kiosk. And so with that, we take a very much a compliance first approach so we can be proactive in this manner. You know, we have already set up a easy onboarding flow for business entities like a self-directed IRA. Where you can submit your information, and then it comes down to just our compliance department evaluating that information, and they can do it fairly quickly and get you improved, you know, in less than a day. And then the other piece of that is, you know, when you are looking at, you know, submitting this information, you might have questions or concerns that pop up. And this is where Brian and I really come in, is you can call us, you can text us, you can use whatever communication channel you prefer, email. I've got some customers that use Telegram. I mean, you can use whatever communication channel that you prefer to interact with us so that we can get those questions and concerns quickly alleviated. And so you're going down the right path. Or if there's a hiccup that comes in, you know, that comes up that we can solve very quickly.
Right. Definitely. Now, so, and you, like you said, you guys open accounts very quickly. And let's take a typical example, like one of our clients. Let's say a client has, let's say that I'm one of our clients. Let's say that I have an IRA LLC arrangement, or what we would call a checkbook IRA. So I would come to you guys and I would open, I'd open an account in the, somebody's buzzing me here. Great timing. But so when I would come and open the account, I would open the account in the LLC's name. And of course, I'd be the signer on the account, the person on the account that could log in and so forth. Once the account is open, like you said, I mean, typically, how long does that take? Like 24 to 48 hours, somewhere in there? Is that about average?
Once the enrollment information is submitted to us, we can get a client onboarded in less than 24 hours. Sometimes it can be down to less than an hour. It really just depends on if we need any additional information, which we rarely do. And then, it, you know, just verifying the information that we do have. That's really what it comes down to. It's, we've made it pretty simple. And the great thing is, you know, you can have constant communication throughout that process. Like I said, if questions or concerns pop up.
Right, right. And then once the account is open, then of course the client, I could just wire money over to that account. So I could send a check. I mean, does it have to be a wire, or is there some other way that I could get money moved over there?
So wire is really the preferred method, just because it's near instant and same day. But we do have clients that take advantage of incoming ACHs that we can facilitate. But really, those are the two best methods. If you want to send a check, that's great. Just understand that checks are, you know, going to take a few days to get to us and a few days to clear. So this is why a lot of our clients choose, you know, the bank wire, because it's the same day. And then, you know, they can fund their account the same day and start buying that day.
Right, right. So now going a step further, let's say I've got all that set up. I've moved some money over into that particular account. What are my options then as far as acquiring Bitcoin? Is it only Bitcoin? Could I do Litecoin? You know, how does that work? And what are my options? Let's start with that. I guess we could go, I could tack as many other questions onto that one as we wanted to. But starting with that, what would be my options once I get the account open and then funded?
Yeah, so your options are Litecoin, Bitcoin, and Ethereum are the three coins that we offer currently. One of the reasons we recommend this, especially on retirement accounts, is these are the three coins that have had basically decisions made by regulatory authorities. Like I said, we take a compliance first and we work with regulators. These are the ones that have been deemed, you know, basically property. And these are the safest coins from a risk standpoint to really put in a retirement type of portfolio. Yeah, as far as purchasing them, once your account's funded, we're pretty flexible. You know, we've got customers that like to swing trade. So, you know, they're focused on a price. Some are just look at from a buy and hold standpoint over a long period of time. So they're just want to get in and have their asset, you know, at whatever price the market happens to be that day. But again, we can be really flexible. We've got some people that are just looking for, you know, breakouts in the, you know, from a technical standpoint on the chart. This is how involved that they are on the daily price. And, you know, so we can put stop buy limits. And we can be very creative. We built all those tools to make it easier for you to buy it wherever you want to. We've got some customers that are, you know, we had a recent drawdown in Bitcoin today, or actually yesterday. And, you know, the great thing about that is we've had several customers that wanted to take advantage of that drawdown, but they wanted to take advantage of at lower prices. So we were able to set limit orders for them at, you know, very low levels, and they were able to take advantage of the quote unquote, you know, drawdowns so that, you know, if the bounce back comes, they, you know, they can basically profit from that from a trade standpoint. So it's very easy to trade if you want to. You know, we're very flexible. You know, we do have a professional trading desk and tools equipped with that.
Nice. Well, and then I guess the next question, and I know for a lot of people that, well, I think it was what, 6 months ago, there was an exchange hacked in Japan, right? And there was obviously a lot of stuff disappeared. So talking about security for a minute, I mean, obviously I could, let's say, hold the keys on, or have you guys hold them for me, right? As a third party provider, or I would have the option of holding my own keys just personally, correct?
Absolutely. So yeah, there's a couple different ways to look at these assets, digital assets. Understanding that they're ones and zeros, it's important to, you know, protect those ones and zeros. From a security standpoint, you know, you can look at it as a bearer asset, so you can actually safeguard it yourself, or you can use a trusted third party like CoinMe to protect those assets. We do have cold storage options that you can take advantage of. But understanding that it's a bearer asset, a lot of customers, especially with that have checkbook type controls with IRA, you know, there's a phrase that pops up, not your keys, not your crypto. Well, you can take advantage of that. So, you know, we can teach, we teach our clients various methods behind, as depending on the level of security that they want to take to protect those ones and zeros or protect that Bitcoin. You know, the most common way is just with a simple hardware wallet. And if you're if you feel technically sufficient enough, you know, a lot of people can plug in basically a hardware wallet, which is just a USB device, set up your own private key, and we just give you the do's and don'ts and the best practices around that, along with we can take you down that path. Or you can hold the keys with us. If you, you know, if you're planning on trading on a you know, a regular basis, it's probably better to keep it with us. That way, you know, we have access to that Bitcoin and can trade it for you. But you know, it's really comes down to whatever the client prefers.
Right. Well, and it's really cool that you guys are there to help, you know, if they have questions about that, because I you know, I know a lot of people that know just enough about blockchain technology and they see the, you know, what that could grow into and how that could be such a big deal in the future. And they like the idea of Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin. But then there's that whole part about storing it. How do I make sure it doesn't, don't accidentally throw it away? I mean, I read an article where some guy figured he lost, it was like $75 million in Bitcoin because he had it on some computer that he had literally thrown away, you know, and he just forgot he had it on there. So it's good that you guys provide those kinds of not only options, but that you're helping the client as well. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, one of the frustrating things for me has been, and I kind of understand it as an entrepreneur, but so many of these Bitcoin companies, you know, again, it's just good luck getting a hold of somebody. You just don't see that much. So I think you guys are definitely on the right track, you know, trying to cover that, because again, that's something that just a lot of people don't do. So that's a definite plus. Now, there was something I was going to ask you. Well, so I guess about the basic fees. Can you guys talk a little bit about how that works if somebody were to set up an account and then maybe either do some pretty active trading or just kind of a buy and hold?
Yeah, definitely. So our fee structure is all based on our client's volume. So again, we are... we like to work with our clients, and if they're an active trader, we'll work with them on fees to try to reduce that. And then if it's just a one-off purchase at a high volume, we'll be able to give them a discount as well. But our fees are very standard or below standard in the industry, and we're proud to be able to give a good option to the clients with a personal touch. That doesn't cost excessive amounts of fees just to get it done.
Right. Okay, so maybe we can cut here real quick. Just talk for a minute. I mean, we've kind of hit most of these questions. Is there anything you guys would like to kind of hit a little bit harder, go a little bit deeper on?
Yeah, I think I want to bring up an important point about just how we trade. One of the values that we do deliver to our clients directly is the actual real market price that is obtained, whether they're on the buy or sell side. You know, a lot of whether even if you're using a fancy electronic platform or your or other trading desk, they like to build in what's called a spread. And that spread is basically a hidden fee. Like for instance, when you go on, you know, you heard of stories of going on competitors' exchanges and I paid a higher price than what another exchange price was. Well, that's because all the exchanges have built in their own little spread or hidden fees, and that's where they make a lot of their money. One of the value propositions of private clients is they're 100% transparent with fees. So when you look at our fee, that's all you're paying. And you're paying for us to not only execute your trade according to how you like it, but more importantly, that we're delivering a good price to you.
Right. Now, so in addition to the transactional costs, do you guys offer any sort of consulting on the side, let's say on a like a per hour basis, or is that just more or less included in any back and forth that you might have with a client as they come in and get set up and start to kind of figure out what they want to do?
Yeah, that's totally free.
Yeah, that's included.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, but I got up a phone earlier today with a great client, and we kind of discussed that. But, you know, one of the things that he was praising me on is that, you know, just by the little price points, or us able to get a better price for him, and more importantly, you know, he bought back at November when things looked pretty, you know, dismal from a price standpoint. We were down around, you know, in the 3000s, and he was unsure of his investment. He didn't know what to do. And I told him to be patient. And you know, we kind of talked that through and, you know, what his time horizon was from an investment standpoint. And, you know, as we sit at the price at 8,500, even with the drawdown that we saw yesterday, you know, he's still very happy with that investment from a 3000 mark. You know, that's almost a 3x investment for him, even with the recent drawdown. And it's gotten them more excited about that. And the fact that, you know, what he was praising me about is the fact that, you know, he can get a hold of me at most hours of the day, and we can have that real conversation, and I can get the real facts, the real news, you know, really slice through the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that's put out there by a lot of economists and news media, and just talk about the facts. You know, one of the most important facts around Bitcoin right now is that the hash rate, which is the best way to describe hash rate, is really the security for the overall network, hit a high last week, an all-time high. That's, you know, that means that the network has never been more secure than it has right now. And that's not something that really gets talked about a lot or that people know, or you know, a lot of people don't even know what hash rate is. And this is the type of stuff that we, you know, education that we can provide. And there's no charge for that. You just got to call us.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's great. You guys have any, do you have any news that you've heard lately about any of, you know, anything involving crypto that you think's relevant for people to know? Any breaking news or anything like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say breaking news every day. There's always something new in this industry. And so one of the things we do is try to keep up with that as much as possible. But I will say, as an investment standpoint, Bitcoin has been the best performing asset class over the last 10 years. And I think that that's a very valuable thing for retirement accounts. Main reason is because retirement accounts are meant to be held for the long run. That's not necessarily completely short-term investing. And so even small investments in a retirement account can grow significantly over 20 years, especially in an asset class that's grown as much as Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And so I think that that's really valuable, especially again in retirement accounts, because most people are holding for a long period of time. And so So I think that that's something that a lot of clients, that's why, you know, a lot of checkbook IRAs clients are starting to get very interested in this space. And even with the year last year where Bitcoin drew back, you know, 70% or more, it still turns out that it's the best performing asset class over 10 years. So that's just something I always like to reiterate to my clients is we're all in this for the long haul. And over time, Bitcoin has proven to be a very valuable asset to hold in everyone's net worth.
Right. Well, and of course, with some of the stuff we've been seeing here lately, I mean, with treasury yields inverting, I think the Danish government just passed legislation for the first time trying to figure out how to handle actual negative rates. So that's going to be interesting. I think the Fed pumped in, what, $105 billion into the overnight lending facility. I think it was two nights ago.
Last week they injected $125 billion and they're doing $30 billion a week until October 10th. What people need to be reminded of is this is how the cookie started crumbling in 07, 08, 09.
Yeah.
When we had the global financial crisis, I think from a macro environment, we have a lot of things going on. You've got the political environment is as high risk as it's ever been. We've got a trade war with China. We've got Brexit going on. We've got negative rates across the globe. We've now got every acronym you can think of, Fed, BOJ, ECB, they're not only lowering rates, but headed to negative territory in some areas. And if you look at just the dollar, from a currency standpoint, it's been devalued since 1971, or roughly 93%. Yeah. And, Bitcoin is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But more importantly, it's just a vote or a choice outside the current financial system. And, we're big proponents of, you don't take 98% of your wealth and move it to another financial system, but you might want to move 1 or 2% of your portfolio to digital assets, knowing that it's been the best performing asset, not only the last 10 years, but the last 5 and the last 2. And this is with a stock market that's at record values right now. So there's just, with the macro environment where it's at, it's just a smart decision to take the best performing asset and throw it in your portfolio. And it doesn't have to be a big chunk. It can be a small investment, and you can take advantage of those gains. One of the crazy fact is that if you were to look at investing over the last 5 years, and you were to keep, if you had a portfolio of $100,000 and you kept $90,000 of that in cash, and you put only 10% or $10,000 of it in Bitcoin, you would have had better returns on that portfolio than if you had put 100% of that money in the S&P. That's an incredible stat, because not only are you increasing your alpha or your return, but you're lowering your beta, because you've got 90% of the portfolio in a cash asset that's mostly stable.
Right. No, that's very true. So maybe kind of a final question, just to wrap up the conversation. Where do you guys see the whole idea of blockchain technology, and maybe specifically Bitcoin, let's say, because it's the most popular one? Where do you guys see that being, let's say, and I don't mean price necessarily, but just maybe how far will the technology at this point be integrated into the society, changing how payments are made and money transferred? But where do you see this whole blockchain technology ending up, let's say, 10 years from now? I mean, 10 years is a short period of time, but we all know when it comes to technology and how fast it changes, 10 years is a lifetime, right? So what are your thoughts on that, where it's going to end up and what it's going to look like, let's say, a decade from now?
Here's what I'll say is, if you look at the iPhone right now, they just released the iPhone 11, and it's 10 years old. And it's changed the way we communicate, it's changed the way we bank, it's changed the way we shop, it's changed the way we commute. A taxi is no longer a whistle, but now it's a push of a button. you know, I think blockchain technology is going to do a very similar type of transformation, but it's going to be transforming the financial architecture of our financial systems. The way insurance companies, the way loans are created, anything and everything, because Bitcoin at the end of the day and crypto at the end of the day is programmable money. And when we can program things on top of it to smart contracts, et cetera, I think we're going to see a drastically different automation of our financial services, where a lot of things are manual right now. And, you know, a lot of those books or those ledgers or are done in back offices, and you have, as companies, huge audits done on your books to make sure they're correct. That blockchain technology is going to be able to allow those processes to be much more automated, much more streamlined, and we're going to reduce, you know, one of the things that we're seeing in the crypto world is banks, you know, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, they're creating their own stable coins for a reason. So that they can pass assets around their inner banking system more quickly. This means less audits, less people, less jobs, but and more automation. And that's the transformation that we're going to see. It's just, instead of being through everyday uses that we've been used to now from our mobile phones, we're going to see it through the financial sector on a massive scale. You know, it's really going to re-architect the financial system. And how each and everything plays out and what the time path is, I don't think we know exactly, but you know, eventually it's going to happen. You know, most people that you know, if you believe in cryptography, then you should own a little bit of Bitcoin.
And just to add on that, you know, I believe that what the internet did to communication is exactly what digital currencies are going to do to money. Right. So when the internet came out, or before the internet came out, communication wasn't worldwide. It was difficult. You had to go to a library to find something out. And now that there's the internet, the entire world has access to pretty much all knowledge. And that's what digital currencies are going to do for us in the future. What I believe they're going to do is it's going to give access to a worldwide currency safely and quickly to everybody. There's 3 billion people that are unbanked in this world, and that in 2019, it just doesn't sound right to me. And I think that one of the transformations in the world is going to be from with the blockchain and with digital currencies, is going to give access to all of the 3 billion unbanked and really grow economies significantly. And so 20 years from now, we could see that the third world developed countries that are unbanked and just in dire need of some sort of banking system or financial system, we're going to see them develop and really grow. And I think that that's a very valuable thing for the world, not just those countries in general, but for the whole world as a growth standpoint.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I agree. I mean, it's, well, like you said, that the iPhone, I mean, it's unbelievable what the iPhone has done, especially when you think about what phones looked like pre-iPhone. I mean, imagine like the old Blackberries and the ability to be walking down the street, pull out your iPhone and Skype with someone in Germany. I mean, that's unbelievable. And like you said, it's changed. Having essentially a mini computer in your pocket allows you to write programs and do all sorts of things, from reading barcodes to, you know, to all sorts of things. So you're right. It's amazing how technology does kind of catch on fire and just blow through everything in ways that half the time you can't even really see. And I agree that the blockchain technology is a pretty foundational technology. It's something that a lot of different things could apply to and certainly benefit from. So yeah, I agree with that entirely. So, well, I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Like I said, this is my very first podcast. So you guys have the distinct honor of being the first ones. I'm sure that'll probably make your day. But I appreciate you coming on. I mean, a lot of our clients and a lot of people that listen to our podcast, you know, they're at different stages when it comes to Bitcoin. Maybe they just heard about it, or maybe they've been studying it for a few years now. Maybe some people know all about it, but just recently found out that they could actually use some of their retirement money to buy Bitcoin. So everybody's going to be kind of on their own spot when it, you know, on the map. Our job, as it is yours, and I that's one of the reasons why we've had you on the podcast, because we think alike in this area, but our job really is to educate people to the point where they feel as if they can make their own decision, and that decision is going to be a good and well-informed one. And at that point, it's their decision on which way they want to go. So I like how you guys offer the personal touch with what you do. So far as I know, you're the only exchange that offers that sort of thing, and I've seen just about all of them after talking with clients. So with that in mind, any last thoughts before we go?
No, this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you again. It's awesome to be part of your first podcast, and you know, we appreciate having us on and kind of letting us share, you know, not only our passion, but more importantly, you know, a little bit about CoinMe and just the approach that we're taking. We're taking a much different approach. You know, as I've got a quote that I like to use with clients that, you know, I am the fancy platform. So, you know, it's the trust and relationship that I bring, the facts, the information, that's what you can rely on. And I'm only as good as the information I can provide.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say thanks again for having us on. If anyone's interested more about, or just want to talk to Brent and I about investing in Bitcoin, feel free to go to our website, coinme.com. You could set up a meeting directly with Brent and myself on there and look more into our profiles.
Definitely. Yeah. So of course, this won't be the last time we have you on the podcast, I'm sure, as different news breaks with Bitcoin or in the market in general. Maybe we'll have you back on and talk about that. Or if we get some feedback from clients that they want us to drill down a little bit deeper with you on a certain subject, maybe we can do that as well. But yeah, I appreciate you guys being on the first podcast. We kind of stumbled our way through it. I'm sure that our clients are going to be better informed because of it. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.